Hey, we'd like to turn to the book of John, chapter 20. We're going to begin a new series of Sunday school lessons on the miracles of Christ, which shows us the sufficiency of Christ and the difference that Christ can make in someone's life. We've, through the years, have, and many times here as well, preached on the miracles of Christ. I love the miracles of Christ. I try to read one every single day. There's so much there, and we could spend the next several years teaching upon the miracles of Christ, but we're not going to do that. We'll do more of a survey, more than likely. We'll not look at all of the miracles, but in John chapter 20, notice verse 30 and 31. This is by way of introduction. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all give eyewitness account of the miracles of Christ. There are 37 of Christ's miracles that are recorded in the Gospels. And those that are recorded, according to what we just read, do not, of course, make up all of the miracles that he performed during his earthly ministry. There were many others. There were more that were not recorded than there were that were actually recorded. Notice in John 21, verse 25, it says there, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So there are far more miracles not recorded and what we have recorded. But it's not for you and I to concern ourselves with those that aren't recorded. It's for you and I to concern ourselves with what is actually recorded. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not one of them gives record of all the recorded miracles. Matthew, again, there are 37. Matthew records 21 of Christ's miracles, three of which only Matthew records. Mark records 19 miracles of Christ, two of which are exclusive to Mark. And Luke records 22, seven of which are exclusive to Luke. And then John records 8 miracles of Christ, six of which are exclusive to John. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all inspired of the Holy Spirit to write down from their own perspective concerning the events that occurred. It's just like any other event that occurs. You speak to the witnesses, and some will see things that others did not see. Some will emphasize things that others will not emphasize. But talking to all the witnesses, you get a picture of what happened. And that's what we have in with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They don't all record the same thing about a specific miracle. Some emphasize one thing more than others. One may give a detail that another left out. That doesn't mean that there's a contradiction. That's just what happens. I mean, that happens all the time. But the point is, you put all of them together and you get an accurate picture of what happened. Now again, we see some of these miracles are exclusive to one writer. But where that's not the case, where you have four individuals recording the same miracle, you need to put all four accounts together in order to get a picture. So what one leaves out, another includes. And that leaves us an accurate description of what actually happened. So that brings us to the question, is what is a miracle? Now, there are many, many definitions of a miracle. God works miracles every day. You and I are a miracle. Life is a miracle. I mean, God works miracles every day. A miracle in the Bible is an obvious and manifest event. It's something that has been seen. So it is an obvious and manifest event. It's something that goes beyond the laws that God has established. God has established laws of nature. God is in control of those laws. God does not always act within the laws that he has established. I'm speaking of the laws of nature. Sometimes he acts in a way that goes beyond the laws of nature. That's a miracle. Something that cannot be produced by the laws of nature. That's a miracle. If it snows this summer on a day when it's 93 degrees, that's a miracle. You say that can't happen. Oh, it could happen. God could do it. I would love for him to do it. I would just love to hear people explain it. You can't explain it. You can't explain a miracle other than God. I mean, that's the only explanation of a miracle. God. And we need to keep that in mind as we look at the miracles of Christ, God. So a miracle is not just something that's unusual. Unusual things happen all the time. Not everything that's unusual can really be called a miracle. But a miracle is something that cannot be explained by the laws of nature. And that is why scientists have a real hard time. Miracles can't be explained by science. Science itself is a miracle. But miracles can't be explained by the laws of nature. So a miracle is an event without a cause other than God. But it's never an act that is just random. It's always an act of God's wisdom. Every miracle is an act of God's wisdom, performed in accordance, not with the laws of nature, which God has established, but within the laws of God's being, his omnipotence, his omniscience. Of course, it cannot go beyond the being of God. So miracles, simply put, are manifestations of God's supernatural power. Now, miracles throughout the Gospels are attributed to Jesus Christ. Notice in John chapter 2, after the first recorded miracle of Christ, that is, turning water to wine, not necessarily the first miracle of Christ, but the first recorded miracle of Christ. In verse 11, it says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus. Miracles did Jesus. So there are miracles. And the miracles are attributed to Christ. Notice in verse 23. Now when he, that is Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Which he did. So twice in John chapter 2, the miracles are attributed to Jesus. Miracles did Jesus, miracles which he did. Now, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, speaking to Christ, in verse 2 said, the miracles which thou doest, which thou doest. There's no attempt here to explain these miracles. They're just attributed to him. Again, don't try to figure it out. Don't try to explain a miracle. It just God. And it needs to be attributed to the Lord. Now the world, of course, is always trying to explain away miracles. They try to explain away the miracles of the Bible that are recorded. Some will say, well, you know, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, there was only a little bit of water. So that wasn't a miracle. Okay, then that wasn't a miracle that they crossed, but sure was a miracle that the Lord drowned them with just a little bit of water. I mean, you just can't get around it. Miracles took place. And God did it. We see in John chapter 4 and verse 54, this is again the second miracle that Jesus did. A miracle that Jesus did. So again, they are attributed to Christ. John chapter 6, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did. The miracle that Jesus did. That's the only explanation of the miracle. He did it. John chapter 6, verse 2. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them. Which he did. On them that were diseased. And not only are miracles attributed to Christ, but notice in John chapter 15, verse 24. John 15, verse 24. If had not done among them the works which none other man did. Not only are they attributed to Christ, but what Christ did, no other man ever did. And that's still true today. What he's done, what he continues to do, not only are they to be attributed to the Lord, but no one else could have done it. No one else has done it. So when a miracle takes place, I mean, it's very disappointing when miracles take place and God's people try to do away with them, try to explain them away. Well, the cancer's gone. The X-ray obviously didn't catch it the first time. Don't try to explain away a miracle. Just accept the fact God works miracles. And if anyone ought to attribute miracles to the Lord, it's certainly you and I who are the recipients of the greatest of all. Amen. Miracles. Now, we can classify the miracles basically into four categories. There are And again, I'm speaking of the miracles of Christ. There are the miracles over nature, such as walking on water, such as turning the water into wine, catching the fish with a coin in its mouth. All these are miracles over nature. Then there are miracles of healing. And that, of course, there are more miracles of healing recorded in the gospel than any other. There are many, many miracles of healing. Now, miracles of nature, I believe, teach us the sovereignty of God. Miracles of healing teach us the sovereignty of God. But I believe miracles of healing, I believe every single one of them are a picture of salvation. I am not saying that everyone who was miraculously healed in the Gospels was saved at the time they were healed. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that all the miracles of healing are pictures of salvation. And there are many, many of those pictures. And then, of course, there are miracles over demonic forces. When Jesus cast out demons, those are miracles over demonic forces, which shows us that he has control. He has power over the demons. There are miracles of resurrection. There were those who were raised to life. And again, these two are pictures of salvation. And the miracles over demonic powers are pictures of salvation. Again, we're not saying that these individuals were saved at that time. Perhaps they were, but I don't believe you can say for sure that they were. So, but they are pictures of salvation. So from these four categories, miracles over nature, miracles of healing, miracles over demonic forces, miracles of resurrection, from those four categories, we see that the miracles of Christ are actual and significant events. They are events. There's something that actually happened. But it also, they are numerous. The miracles of Christ are numerous. But not only are they numerous, they are of variety. Christ didn't just perform, didn't just work one specific kind of miracle. There was a variety of miracles. And that's encouraging, because what that tells us is God can. No matter what it is, God can. Now notice in John chapter 11 and verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we?" That is, they had a problem. They were perplexed. What are we going to do with this Jesus? "For this man doeth many miracles." This man doeth, again, they attributed the miracles to Christ. He doeth many miracles. In John chapter 12, verse 37, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." I believe the many refers to, again, that they were numerous. And not all of them are recorded. But it also refers to the fact that they were a variety. There was a variety of miracles. They were useful. Every single miracle that Christ worked had a use, had a purpose. And every single one of them fulfilled a definite and specific need. Every one of them filled a specific need, which tells us that every one of those miracles, since they fulfill a need of man, they are gracious. They are merciful. Every miracle. No one deserves a miracle. Every miracle is an act, not only of God's power, not only of God's wisdom, but it is an act of God's grace, an act of God's mercy. And we've run out of time, but we'll again continue to look at these miracles of Christ. And as we do, we want to be reminded of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ in our own lives. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer.